Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 18th of December. Should Caroline Kennedy be the next senator from New York, taking Hillary Clinton's Senate seat? We'll talk about that the first hour of today's program. As after a long time of being a very, very private woman, she did say yesterday for the first time that she wants to be New York's next senator, and she launched a tour of upstate cities to meet with politicians and power brokers. She's also started telephoning many people to gather their support and also to make her case for being the next senator from New York. It's received a lot of attention as to whether or not this would be a good thing or whether or not it's just a privileged life and Kennedy dynasty continuing their tradition, and that's not the way to get a new senator from New York. We're going to be talking about this issue the first hour of our program today. We'll have two guests with us during the course of the next hour. Sam Stein is a political reporter for Huffington Post, and later we'll be speaking with Professor Dave Corbin, who's a professor of politics at the King's College in New York. Welcoming your phone calls, as we always do. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send an email, you can do that at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Sam Stein, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Isn't it strange in a way to see her after all these years of being so quiet, so out of the way? Here she is front and center. It's just striking to me.
Well, I have to divulge that I am not of the era where the Kennedy mystique was at its peak, but you're right about one thing, in that she has demurred from the public spotlight. She's been a quiet, very private force on education in New York, but that's about the extent of her involvement in the city, other than philanthropic enterprises. And so, without any real announcement or really any anticipation, she thrust herself, or was thrust, into this, I guess you could call it this enterprise, this political enterprise of coming to of earning the trust of the governor of New York to be appointed Hillary Clinton's replacement. And it's fascinating for journalists especially, because you have this person who is really not that well known among the public, and but she has that name. And so, you know, at the same time that we think we know a lot about her because she's a Kennedy, you talk to people, they can't really tell you what her position on the Iraq war is. And she's going to be deciding that if she's appointed to the Senate. So, very fascinating stuff.
Yes, it is. And it's hard to know exactly what motivated her, but we can play with this anyhow.
Oh, let's play. Yeah,
okay. she turned 50. It's middle age. Her dear uncle has brain cancer. There would not be another Kennedy in the Senate after so many years. It seems to me as though it's both personal, it's nostalgic, and it's, hey, I'm 50. I'm going to do something big now.
Yeah. And you know, I agree with both those. And I'd add something that may seem a little soppy, a little sentimental, and probably a bit cheesy, but it did seem that on the campaign trail, she was swept up in the Obama mania.
Yes.
She really bought into it. She really was overwhelmed by it, and to a good degree. And she was part of it, too. She led his vice presidential search committee. And I don't think we should understate this, because I think, there is a cynicism about politics that doesn't really jive with what the whole idea of the Kennedy public service aura is about. And I think that Obama may have refreshed her vision about what the political process can be. And I think that actually maybe compelled her a bit towards actually entering public life, in addition to the stuff with Ted Kennedy, which is really compelling itself.
Right.
And certainly her age, which with her kids growing up, she now isn't sort of tied down by that anymore. And, you know, it's also great timing. The Senate seat just opened up. And with her jumping into the field, it seems like she's sort of suffocated everyone else from putting their names out there. They don't want to be the one to go up against a Kennedy in the realm of public opinion.
You posted yesterday that more New Yorkers believe Patterson will choose Kennedy by a 31-16% margin.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised the percentages were that low, but she does have the, 31%, sorry. But she does clearly have a growing, at least as of yesterday, although she had a tough news conference yesterday in upstate. But up until then, she really was turning the tide, and it's very bizarre, because the type of campaign, as it, if you can call it that, that she's running is quite private. It's hiring the right people. It's getting in touch with the right officials. It's making the right contacts. And largely, they're calling it the whispering campaign, not because of the not to be confused with the listening campaign. And the whole goal is to persuade one person who ultimately would decide this to make the choice. At the same time, you see opinion polls that show that she is, you know, the most popular one. So she has two things going for her. The only thing that could derail this is if she has performances like she did yesterday. She needs to really show on a public stage that she can handle questions, that she's comfortable relating to people, because the last thing New York Democrats want to do is put someone in place who is not a good politician and then has to run for re-election 2 years later. So Kennedy can raise money. No one's disputing that. But that she needs to show that she can actually get out there and be a campaigner. And I think once she passes that hurdle, I think it's really hers for the taking.
And she also needs to let us know what her stand is on the war in Iraq, I would imagine, right?
Well, I guess those are, in this case, of secondary nature. Isn't that remarkable that right. you don't even need to fill out a questionnaire, but right. you can be considered for the Senate. So I am curious to know what all her stances are on these specific issues. Because,
exactly.
You know, it would be nice to know.
Isn't a large part of it, Sam, that we are still caught up in this Kennedy mystique? Her father died so early. Her uncle died so early. All the tragedy in the family. And we still are a country, although probably less so because there's a generational divide. As you said, you're younger and wasn't alive when all this was taking place, but I was. And there's something about our wanting to hang on to that mystique, whatever it was for us. We grew up during that time. Many of us were... we were charmed by the family. We're fascinated by them for some reason. Fascinated.
Oh, sure. And I think it extends well beyond the Kennedys, although the Kennedys are the personification of exactly what you're talking about. But, you know, they call it dynastic politics, but it's really nostalgia politics. Mm. And you see it across the United States. I mean, I remember watching a segment on some cable news show yesterday. Look at some of the senators in place. Chris Dodd, his father was a senator. You know, Judd Gregg, they have all have lineage. We have Hillary Clinton about to take over Secretary of State. We latch on to names as much as to policies or positions because there is sort of a movie-like quality to it. You know, the retribution or the coming home or the filling in your father's shoes and certainly I think. You touched on this earlier, but what's going on with Ted Kennedy right now, there is this whole passage of the torch idea. It would be the first year in God, 45, 50 years maybe since a Kennedy has been in Senate once Ted leaves. I mean, that's a long, long time to have a Kennedy in the Senate. And I think there are a lot of people out there who want to see Caroline continue their legacy just because they're used to it.
Right.
I think you're hitting on it.
Why would it be Caroline Kennedy instead of Robert Kennedy, who has a lot more political experience, very big on environmental issues, written a lot of books on it? Why wouldn't he put his name in the ring?
If I knew that, I'd write a great article about it.
Right.
But from what I hear, I have no clue, to be honest, if this is true or not, but Robert was told to, you know, take care of his family first, that it's not his time, that he does great things in terms of environmental policy. You know, his name was floated for EPA chief early on in the administration, but that seems to have died down. The truth is, he's great on environmental stuff. He may not be the best politician. He may not be great on the stump, and there might be a sort of realization that putting him out there from the purely political perspective is not necessarily the best thing that Dems can do. That said, I think you hit on a few good points, which is that Robert has more honed skills than Caroline, at least that we know of, and he's done this before when it comes to at least environmental policy. So it's a prevailing question that needs to be answered. Mm-hmm. Why not him?
And everybody keeps saying, where are the progressives in the Obama ticket? Where are the progressives nationally? He certainly can be labeled as a progressive on those issues, if not many more.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and it was really early when his name was floated out there, and I talked to him actually about it.
Did you?
Yeah, we talked on. I talked to him the day after his name was floated, and I said, "Well, you know, what are your thoughts?" He said, "Oh, you know, if asked, I will serve," as they all say. but he generally seemed excited about the prospect, and that's that.
That's it. Yeah. What kind of pressure do you think is Patterson under to name her? If he doesn't, a lot of people will say, oh, no. And if he does, a lot of people will say, oh, no.
Well, this is why some of the New Yorkers I talk to insist, although I don't agree with them, they insist that this is a done deal. And I say, well, that can't be true. She's going around upstate New York today. If it was a done deal, she wouldn't have to do this. But they say the public pressure is incredible on Patterson right now, although he is known to just agree with – he's one of those politicians that's known to agree with the last person he spoke with. So but you can imagine him, you know, we're talking about – we're not talking about minor figures who are now in Caroline's camp. We're talking about Harry Reid. That's a national figure, obviously, but also Mayor Bloomberg's. There's a great New York Times piece today about how Mayor Bloomberg's staff has been quietly behind the scenes pushing Caroline Kennedy. We're talking about some people in New York City. Schumer's chief aide, former chief aide, is running her whispering tour. So we're talking about a bunch of major political officials who all have, to one extent or another, indicated that they support Caroline. The key will be the labor community. If they come out and actually say something and put the pressure on Patterson, I don't see how he can then not choose Caroline, because he himself has to think about election in 2010. And to burn over a good portion of the Democratic populace, at least in New York City, is not the smartest thing to do, although we also should remember we're talking about a state that is incredibly Democratic. I think their congressional delegation only has three Republicans remaining in it, which is remarkable considering where they started 8 years ago.
Yeah, it sure is.
So, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the Democratic Party wanting to ensure that it's sitting pretty with Caroline and David Patterson, but we're also talking about a very strong, progressive Democratic state. So,
and why the support from Reid and Bloomberg and Schumer's former chief aide?
Well, if we want to get incredibly cynical, we can say it starts with money. And Kennedy, for whatever, we don't know much about her publicly. We do know that she would be able to raise a lot of money, and she wouldn't really have to work that hard at it. She has a connection, obviously, to the upper crust of the financial and political world, and that's not something to dismiss. I mean, money really is an important aspect because it helps win races. So again, to be a little bit sentimental, I think a lot of these people really like the idea of having a Kennedy in the Senate and in sort of the movie-like quality to her taking over as her uncle is sort of heading out. And I think, you know, that Harry Reid was so interesting to me because there's really nothing that compelled him to do it, to come out and say he liked the idea. He doesn't have a vested interest in the race, but, I mean, I think those two are probably the foremost qualities as to why she's getting all this public support.
Sam Stein is our guest. We have one line open. A lot of people want to talk about this, so take it if you want it. 800-486-8655. Sam is a political reporter for Huffington Post. Caroline Kennedy is now actively seeking Hillary Clinton's Senate seat, and we're talking about her statement indicating such interest, her appearances that didn't go real well, as Sam has said, in upstate New York, the pressure on her, her support that she is gathering, and asking, what do you think? We'll take your phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Should Caroline Kennedy be in the U.S. Senate? We go to Ron first. Hi, Ron from Waupaca. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I don't have any problem with her lack of political experience. She's been around a while. People know her. The thing is, most of the time these days, the political aides do the actual scout work. The senators themselves are out there, and it's their perception. And what I'm looking for with her is her moral perception, which is great with me. And that's what I'm looking at and for. If she's anything like Robert at all, I'll settle. And the overall moral perception of Congress is zilch. She would raise it at least somewhat. And I think that's what we can look for from her. And I think that's what we ought to be looking for.
Sam.
No, valid point. I'd add one thing. The great aspect, I hate the fact that presidential elections last for 2 years now, but one of the great benefits of having a long election process is that you do get to see someone's moral perspective, and you do get to see how they act in difficult circumstances or in debates or when confronted with a challenge. Those are some of the great things you can take away from a long election process. And while Caroline has been a pseudo-public figure for a while now because of her name, she really hasn't been in a situation where we could truly take a glimpse at her moral character, although we have a general idea of what it would be because of what her uncle has, how her uncle has acted in the Senate. Her lineage tells us a bunch of what we can expect, and certainly the fact that she signed up so early and vocally with Obama can give us an indication of what that is. But this is one of the problems with not having to run for election, is that you, the voter, don't get to actually see her in action. And so I do agree with the caller, Ron, I believe his name was, but I'm sure there are people who would like to see a bit more than simply a few stops upstate and a few token appearances with the governor of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call. Here's an email. If Andrew Cuomo is anything like his father, then he's the man. After listening to Mario Cuomo over the years, I always wanted him to run for president.
Well, Andrew's name has been floated around there, and the big speculation is that he wanted the seat. There's also speculation that he might take on Patterson for governor of 2010 and actually fill his father's shoes in that post. Andrew's done a very good job, or well-respected job, as Attorney General of New York, and obviously he has federal experience, having served in the Clinton administration with housing and urban development. But, you know, that's the other thing about this Caroline issue. She, and I think her advisors were smart to do this, by putting her out there so quickly and so publicly, she's really taken the air out for other people like Andrew Cuomo to explore whether or not to do this. Because now if he puts his name up, he says, I want to be the senator, all of a sudden he's taking away a chance from a Kennedy to get into the Senate and replace her uncle's seat. And there's a big risk if you do that. So, you know, I don't feel bad for Andrew because he's got a bright future ahead of him. But if he wanted the Senate, he's got to get going right now.
Right. And I agree with the emailer. I'm a sucker for wonderful speeches, and he could give a speech, Mario, couldn't he? He still can. He's just, ugh,
yeah. It's the most underrated quality, but giving a good speech, and I think you saw it with Obama as well, is truly, you know, it could alleviate even the biggest of political deficits. And that is, you know, not to bring it back to Caroline, but we need to see. I mean, can she do that? What is she bringing to the table? Because keep in mind, not every Kennedy has excelled in political life. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend lost a gubernatorial election in 2002 in Maryland. So it's not necessarily because you have the Kennedy last name you're going to be a political star. You know, Mario Cuomo earned his stripes by being such an eloquent orator.
Mm-hmm. Lawrence from Marathon is next. Hi, Lawrence.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm of the opinion that whatever this country and its citizens can do for JFK's family is not enough. The Kennedys, in general, know what public service is all about, not self-service like Bush and all those who surround him. I'm quite comfortable that she'll function on a high level if she is an appointed senator. To suggest that she's not tested by the electoral campaign trail, I think is a little dubious. You mostly don't get what you see from the campaigners when they are elected. So I don't think the election process in this case is anything to hold her feet to the fire over. I would like to see her appointed senator, and I'm comfortable that she'll do a good job in that position.
Thank you, Lawrence. Sam?
Well, I mean, it is true that there are a lot of people out there who are fine with her, not sight unseen, but close enough, in that she and her family have devoted, you know, countless years and lives to this country.
Right.
The truth is that if this I mean, if this were any other name, in this regard, if she had any other last name, she wouldn't be a candidate, because we are judging her based on her predecessors. And, you know, that's fine to judge her that way, but for a lot of voters in New York, and I know this because I have, not only do I have sources in New York, I have family in New York, there is a yearning to see more, to know more. This is your representative to the government. And to not have a great indication, not only of, we have some indication of her moral code, although there are some people who want to see more, but to have very little indication of her political positions, which, you know, ultimately, this is what it's about, is your political positions, is problematic for a lot of people. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. What about that, Lawrence? Do you feel that as though you know what her political positions are?
I don't know specifically, but all I have to do is look at President Bush. He won in Texas as governor on the Bush name, and certainly it helped him catapult him to the presidency, and he's been an utter and total failure. So, you know, you can't say, well, she's going to get it just because she's a Kennedy. That will help. But the Kennedys understand public service. And you might not know or be aware of all the Kennedy prodigies that are out there, but you don't hear them in the news, which means they're not doing things that are bad, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, there have been Kennedy's in the news for doing bad things, to be sure. But they're also, I mean, there's a great template for what's happening right now, I mean, to a certain extent, and that is Ted Kennedy's run for the Senate in 1962. And this was, I mean, it's almost eerie how similar the criticisms of her, of him were to her right now, in that people said, this is a man running on a name. And they weren't comfortable necessarily with him in Massachusetts. I read in a biography that one or two members of Harvard faculty actually backed Ted Kennedy in the primary. That's it. It was unprecedentedly against Ted Kennedy. And no one knew what he would be like as a legislator. And he turned out to be one of the top five most effective senators in the United States history. So there is precedent to, you know, have a blank slate and end up with a pot of gold, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, I think with Caroline, it's a bit different because she's 50 and Ted was 30, or she's 51 and Ted was 30. But, you know, we could end up with something that's incredibly, you know, great for the U.S. Senate. We just don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that? We just don't know. Just briefly before we move to the next guest and let you go, a lot of uproar over the Joint Congressional Committee and the transition team deciding that Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, would give the invocation on January 20th. What's your read on this? Is the outrage justified?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of yearning among members of the press to get a story where it's the liberal left and the progressive movement angry at Obama, and it's been widely overblown up until now.
Mm.
It's incredible what happened yesterday. You know, the announcement was made, and in the course of about 24 hours, the backlash has been really remarkable. Is it justified? I don't know. I mean, Rick Warren has a variety of views that just don't jive with Obama's agenda, and we can talk about torture, gay rights, women's rights, stem cell research. Just there's a lengthy list. There are views that they do share, including combating AIDS, and the broad idea that you need to be inclusive in your political approach. That said, this is a larger ceremonial position that he's now occupying. In 2004, George Bush had a reverend from here in the District of D.C. Who was a lefty, who completely disagreed with his position on Iraq.
Really?
This is not, Rick Warren will not be setting policy in the White House, although he is a good friend with Obama. And, you know, it does, to a certain degree, fit with Obama's call for having a big tent and not, you know, tolerance. This is about tolerance. You tolerate someone else's opinion. But I do think it's justified that people, especially in the gay and lesbian community, are hurt by this, because you're giving a forum, a widely viewed public forum, to a man who really is antithetical to everything that they're hoping for out of Obama.
Right. What about how large that public forum will be? Is he just there on the 20th and then gone?
Well, he's going to give the invocation, and there's no indication that it's going to be political. It should be spiritual, although there's limits to how religious you can get because you want to have separation of church and state. After that, who knows? Obama talked about Rick Warren. There are reports that Rick Warren was a real sort of catalyst for Obama's decision to run for president. Rick Warren does a ton of good stuff combating AIDS in Africa. Obama talked about Rick Warren in his second book, The Audacity of Hope, about the work he's doing in Africa. And, of course, Rick Warren hosted a values forum during the general election campaign, which means Obama was comfortable enough to appear on stage with him right after John McCain, or right before John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all, I think you can take all of these as indications that if Rick Warren wanted to talk to President Obama, he could get President Obama on the phone, which is a very powerful thing to do. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to, I don't think he's going to be gone after January 20th. I think he still plays a big role, especially because the Saddleback Church is huge. And, and I know, to be cynically political, there is a lot to gain for Democrats by reaching out to that community, regardless of the religious, political, or spiritual differences.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show on that church. Isn't it weird, though, that the controversy most swirling around Obama concerns his pastors, of all things?
Well, this is becoming, he's got a problem with picking pastors,
apparently. I guess.
It's becoming a real, you know, thorn in his side. I asked someone whether, you know, who else he could turn to, and they said, well, Reverend Jeremiah Wright was out of the
room. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine if he had selected him? Oh, my gosh.
The collective uproar from the right wing would have been deafening. So.
Yeah, it sure would have. This was fun, Sam. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, definitely. Have me on again. I love this.
Great. All right. We will. We will.
Okay.
Sam Stein, he's a political reporter for the Huffington Post, and we're talking about Caroline Kennedy and her decision that she wants to be New York's next senator. And she said so yesterday. We're talking about that issue. Same issue, just changing guests. We thank Sam for being with us, and definitely he'll be on the air with us again. Joining us now is Professor Dave Corbin. He's an assistant professor of politics at the King's College in New York. He has taught courses in political philosophy, American politics, and international relations at the University of New Hampshire and Boston University. His main areas of academic interests include classical political philosophy, politics and literature, and American foreign policy. He says that he believes there's a 75% to 85% chance that Caroline Kennedy will be given Hillary Clinton's vacant Senate seat, and he has concerns about this. He has written, I think the further we go in just allowing someone to have a crack at an office because they have a last name, regardless of their merits, the worse off we are. We'll be continuing to take your phone calls, so don't go away. And get your emails. We have some of those we will read during the next half hour as well. The phone number is 800-486-8655, and the email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org, for you to join our continuing conversation about Caroline Kennedy. Professor Dave Corbin, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Let's start with what you said here. You think the further we go in allowing someone to have a crack at an office because they have a last name, regardless of their merits, the worse off we are. Let's start with the positives. Does she have any merits?
I think she does. I think she's older, which is a good thing. So she's been able to live through quite a exciting life and probably has seen quite a bit, both in her time as a child of a president, but and also participating in various activities throughout her older her later years, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a positive. She seems to be a decent person from what we can tell. Not someone who would, you know, make a crazy off the cuff remark or not to fit in with the idea of the Senate as a place for very reserved, sober individuals.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of her problems is that she hasn't made enough remarks, though, so we don't know where she stands on a whole variety of issues.
I think that's the case. I mean, we go back to the Federalist Papers. It's quite clear that, you know, what we're looking for in the office of the U.S. Senate is someone who in their life has had an opportunity to do different things and to be judged by both their words and deeds. And from what I can tell anyway, I just haven't been able, as you said, to see that much other than her participation in philanthropic activities and the like. So,
what about the role in American history of individual families playing a big role in, as you say, maintaining the republic and making it a good republic? Is the history a good history, or is it problematic?
I think it's, you know, it's both good and bad, and it speaks to the fact that there are some families who have been given an opportunity to rule simply based upon their name, and hence they have a dynastic quality, and other families who really tried with all their might to live up to perhaps what a natural aristocracy ought to be, or at least what good birth ought to provide. So the examples that I've given when asked about this question, I mean, include, I think, at the top of the list, you have to have the John Adams and John Quincy Adams, and then I think you have later representations that I don't think quite live up to that that parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it speaks a lot to the age that we live in. There's a reason why John Quincy Adams was given quite a bit of responsibility earlier in his life and was allowed to participate in various activities, and it spoke of his character, it spoke of his sobriety, things that he had written, reputation that he had built in discussing the affairs of the day with other great individuals. I think that the more you move forward in American history, the more is it just a last name? Is it simply a celebrity status that gets you a slot in politics? And I think we just have to beware because it is the U.S. Senate. It is an important place. It does hold a lot of our nation's future, and it's not Hollywood Squares, and it shouldn't be.
No, it's not Hollywood Squares. you've said that. Governor Patterson will make a choice that makes, A, the least amount of enemies, and B, best ensures he is reelected in 2 years. Does that point him toward Caroline Kennedy or away from her?
I think right now it points him toward Caroline Kennedy. I think that from all that we can tell on the outside, she has the support of quite a few players in New York politics. Mayor Bloomberg seems to be on board. At least quite a few of his associates are working for her. Senator Clinton seemed to step away and at least okay the decision from all that we can hear to allow the appointment to be made. And I think that in terms of looking forward from the standpoint of the Democratic hopes, in 2010 and 2012, a strong argument can be made, well, that if you put a Kennedy on the ticket, you're going to be able to raise enough money to keep the seat and to defeat perhaps a Giuliani or a Pataki or some other Republican contender.
Mm-hmm. Let's welcome more phone calls. We'll take them momentarily. For our guest, we're talking about Caroline Kennedy and her possible appointment to the U.S. Senate. Her decision to put her name in the hat here and actually make a lot of telephone calls to people who may be helpful in her getting the designation as the next senator from New York. Our guest this half hour is Professor Dave Corbin, Assistant Professor of Politics at the King's College in New York. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And the email is talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls, and we go next to Scott from Green Bay. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I think one of the problems she has might be timing more than anything else, because we're coming off an election where the vice presidential candidate on the Republican side was beat up daily about not having any experience. And here we're going to throw a woman in the Senate because her last name is Kennedy. I mean, her constituency is, the Upper East Side of Manhattan. I mean, I don't see how she could really represent New York as a whole and I don't see why there isn't. I mean, there should just be a tremendous outcry in the press about the lack of experience and just the audacity that she should be the senator. I mean, if we certainly remember how Sarah Palin was treated for a quote lack of experience, and I think the shoe should be on the same, on the other foot for Caroline Kennedy.
Professor Corbin.
Well, I think your caller has a point. I think that perhaps the response from proponents of a Kennedy appointment would say, well, you know, Sarah Palin would have been just one heartbeat away from the presidency, whereas Caroline Kennedy is part of a body of 100 individuals, and hence if we make a mistake on her, it's not as much of a tragedy for the country, or there's not as much danger there. But I think that approach to the office of the Senate really demeans the office of the Senate, and I actually think it plays into what is a cult of the presidency that puts too much emphasis on the presidency itself. I think that we ought to take who we elect as our senator seriously, and so I think, you know, more should be said about this. But you know, that alone, I think that there are some things that we can judge Caroline Kennedy on, and I would, you know, be very interested in, you know, over the next 2 to 3 weeks to hear what her opinions are. I doubt, however, like your caller says, that she's going to face the scrutiny that Sarah Palin faced while being appointed or being nominated for the vice presidency.
Thanks very much for the call. Let us go to Michael from Milwaukee. Hi, Michael.
Yes, hi. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm on the cell phone here.
You're clear as can be.
I am? Oh, that's good. Oh, hi, Kathleen. I love your show there. It's great. So I think that name should not be an issue. I believe that she is going to follow in the ideals of Mrs. Clinton and Eleanor Roosevelt and Jimmy Carter and, you know, helping the poor. I think she's going to follow in the footsteps of her family predecessors, you know, Robert Kennedy and John F. And even, you know, well, those two in particular. I really think she has those ideals ingrained in her, instilled in her all these years. And I think she's going to be a great antidote to the recent fiasco on Wall Street, because she has direct, you know, connections in New York, and you know, all the greed and snobbery that's gone on over there, and kind of divert the attention to some of the poorer folks' plight and the average person's plight. Even though they have money, they definitely have proven again and again that they don't let money get in the way of helping the poor. And so that's how I feel.
Thanks for the call, Professor Corbin.
Well, I think that they're in all likelihood that we know what Caroline Kennedy's positions will be from recent and her recent endorsement of President-elect Obama. And I think that, you know, there's something to be had, as I said earlier, in growing up in a political family and being able to kind of, I think through at the dinner table some of these issues. I think there's an advantage there. I'm not certain, however, that one would certainly call her representative of the poor. I mean, you go to the Upper East Side, it's not as if she's hanging out with Joe Sixpack or Joe Plummer. It's more like she's hanging out with Michael Bloomberg and the folks on Park Avenue. So, but, you know, to each his own, if that's what individuals who would like the poor to be better represented would want in a senator, then they'll certainly get that.
Thanks very much for the call, Mike. Here's an email from Sue from Westby. Isn't it sad that money is one of the top reasons for seriously considering Ms. Kennedy as a senator? Being such an important office, too bad we don't look more at what the candidate has done rather than if their financial status would enable them to continue in office. What do you think of that?
I think there's certainly a tie between money and celebrity, and I think it shows what the nature of our politics are today, Kathleen, because one of the things that has not been mentioned is, well, what type of citizenry do we have today? Do we have a citizenry that is very active, that is very informed, that is willing to kind of go the extra yard to learn about candidates and to take these things seriously? And I think that in an age of celebrity and in an age where most campaigns are run off 30-second commercials. If you don't have, in a state like New York, $30, $40 million to run a campaign, you're not going to be even considered at the beginning of a process. And, you know, one of the things that you look at a great state like New York that has so many people in it, there are some great qualified individuals in many different sectors who perhaps would be great U.S. senators if they had an opportunity to get their name out there. And that's just not going to happen. And I think my great fear for the republic is that are we going to turn into a republic, and I'll use the Hollywood Squares example again, where you have a lot of money or you have a lot of fame, and that gets you a ticket.
Right.
So that we're dealing with a pool of maybe 500 individuals out of 300 million who would be considered for those 100 slots rather than 500,000.
And that's really problematic. You ought to be able to have nothing and run.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and there have been individuals who have, you know, made their way up through the system. I mean, you think of President-elect Obama, for example, as an individual who came from nothing and was able, on his merits, to make his way through the system in Illinois and to get elected. I think there are other individuals like President-elect Obama that are out there, that are in Hawaii, that are in California, who would make great senators. And it's tough when politics becomes so impersonal, so celebrity driven, so Entertainment Tonight,
right,
that we lose sight of some of the important traits that we ought to be looking for in our leaders. Talent, prudence, faithfulness, justice, lawfulness, a love of responsibility, excellent ambition, the right type of ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the qualities that would uplift a republic and make it better.
Hmm.
It's not to say that someone with a last name can't have those qualities. They certainly can. But if we're only dealing, like I said, with a pool of 500 individuals, how many others have we left out who might really serve this nation well?
Mm-hmm. Point well taken. Katie from Appleton. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for the show. I have just a slight comment on the celebrity in politics today, and to name a few, Sonny Bono and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like, in any event, it's kind of a guessing game as to who's really going to do the best job. And then you look at Chicago with someone who probably had the credentials, and they're not doing so well. So I say give her a chance. She understands law. She understands politics. She has had the experience of raising a family, had the experience of being in a political family. So from many other personal or maybe social aspects, she's got a little bit of a different angle than some people. And I guess we're not going to know till it's decided for us. But I just think that there's so many other people that have gotten into politics who actually have turned out okay. I mean, Ronald Reagan did pretty good. So I guess if the guests could just speak to the nature of politics as far as celebrities go, how much difference is there between Hollywood celebrities and political family celebrities?
Okay.
Sure. Well, I'll just use the example of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was traveling across the country speaking for GE on many political issues for years. He was writing speeches. He was performing. We actually had something to go on. I wasn't alive at the time, but people had something actually to go on in 64, 68, 76, and 1980. He was governor of California. I agree with your caller. Just because you're not a celebrity doesn't make you a statesman. And there are many examples today of individuals like the current governor of Illinois who went and kind of earned his stripes and yet has not served his state well. And there's nothing about being a celebrity that might make you a bad statesman. That's not my point. My point is if the requirement, given lack of attention paid to political office, is either money or celebrity status, then have we really put too great a filter on the type of people who might serve us.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email from Scott from Alston, Massachusetts. It's ironic when a host on NPR gave Governor Patterson the opportunity in jest to announce the next senator on his program. He announced that the next senator would be someone who was highly qualified. By his own standard, it doesn't seem as if Caroline Kennedy would be the right fit for this position.
Well, I think that we have to take a close look at her record. Certainly, this is Patterson's call. He has the constitutional authority to name the replacement to Senator Clinton, and he'll be held accountable for the decision that he makes. To what degree he's held accountable and what constituencies he's concerned about, I think tells you a lot about the state of New York politics today. Governor Patterson, my guess, is most concerned about, as I mentioned in a previous interview, his reelection. Is he concerned with appointing someone who may not have those qualities that would make her a great senator? And I don't think that's his concern right now. I think his concern is picking someone who is popular that will make him more popular, that will allow him to do well in New York politics for some time to
come. Thanks, Katie, for your call. Mike from Green Bay is next. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. I wanted to make a polite rebuttal to the fellow that called in and said that Sarah Palin was beat up in the press because she didn't have experience. In fact, that's the only thing they praised her for. She had some administrative experience, but what she was beat up for in the press was the fact that she exercised extremely poor judgment in many things, and she was lacking in basic knowledge that you require of a kid to graduate from high school. So there's a big distinction there. I don't think that Carolyn Kennedy would think that Africa was 6,000 years old and not know that it was a continent. So I think that Carolyn Kennedy would bring some things to it that a lot of things you brought out in the show, but probably a lot of it would be just the intellectual ambience of her background and the fact of who she can call on, and really to carry on the legacy of Ted Kennedy that seems to be a setting sun. So I'd really like to see Carolyn Kennedy in there.
Thank you, Mike.
It sounds a little bit like an argument for a center-left oligarchy there, as opposed to kind of center-right populism. I heard a lot about Sarah Palin and up through the presidential election, and a lot of it was hearsay. A lot of it was things that silly McCain handlers were putting out there about this lady. You don't get to become mayor of a town or become governor of a state without the ability to get through high school. I think that's just a silly statement. And I think it's the silly statements like that, both on the left and the right, that demean American politics. There's nothing right now that we can tell about Carolyn Kennedy that will make her either a terrible senator or an excellent senator, as there was nothing about Sarah Palin's past that we would be convinced that would make her an excellent vice president or a terrible one. But I think when ideology plays a part in how we view things, it's really very dangerous, which is why, going back to what I said at the beginning of the interview, it's excellent when you have a public record to go on. It's excellent mm-hmm. when you've done things. It's excellent when you've introduced laws, when you've advocated for certain laws, where you've had to negotiate settlements with people, where you'd have to work with other legislators, things that people do when they're working their way up through politics so that they build a record.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Mike, for your call. Jim from Black River Falls adds this note of humor. When President Kennedy was asked by a reporter why he nominated his brother for attorney general and mentioned his lack of experience, Jack responded, "Well, the kid has got to learn somewhere." That's funny. You know, you also think about the power of a governor to make this kind of significant appointment. Is this unusual among the states, or is it pretty common that they would have this power?
Yeah, it's common. I mean, and I think that the thinking behind it back when these rules were put into place is that you're not going to be able to hold an election at the drop of a dime. And you want to have an individual who can make a nomination that that is respected and has been elected in himself or herself, someone who would make a decision that would be a prudent decision. So I don't have as much of a problem with that. Certainly, there's the worst case scenario, which is what we're seeing in Illinois today. But I think that most governors that you see across the nation have done a lot to get there, you would hope would be able to make a good decision.
Right. We're out of time. Thank you, David Corbin, for being with us. Enjoyed the hour. That was fun, everybody. Thanks for all your emails. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of them or all the calls. Great deal of interest in this, but that's all right. So thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thanks to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. News is coming up, and we'll return for another hour here on the Ideas Network.